In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Anger and domestic violence.
Tonight, God's willing, I will discuss certain subjects which is affecting everyone. Anger. There is no one ever who did not show anger at certain time of his life, for all his life. But anger shows for different reasons and expressed by different ways. And if you want to know what the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said about anger, we will read from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5, from starting verse 21, comparison between murdering and anger. Starting verse 21.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, shall be in anger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing.
So the Lord Jesus Christ, He equated the judgment for the one who murdered in the Old Testament. What was the judgment for the one who murdered? To be murdered, to be killed. Judgment, the word judgment. Now, if someone is angered silently, without any expression, he deserves what? Judgment. Angered internally, just silently. If you are so frustrated and you wish if you would kill the one in front of you, but you don't show that. You don't show it. It's the same. Because comparing the New Testament for the Old Testament, God looks to the mind and the heart. The same for adultery, and the same for every sin of the Old Testament. He looks inside us, not necessarily the behavior itself, but what I am thinking of or the intent of my heart for. So, also we will read from the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, 31 and 32.
Yep.
Chapter 4.
Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the evil, to the devil. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you.
Thank you. This verse 26 is so important in marital life. How the sun will not go down on your anger. Which means if there is any anger, misunderstanding with anger between both of you, don't go to sleep till at least you pray together and you forgive one another. And if there's time for discussion, fine. If not, make the time, assign certain time next day to discuss what happened. But don't sleep with the wrath in your heart and in your mind. Why? Because we believe that there's a demon for anger, Shaitan al-Ghadab. We believe that there's a demon for anger, which will be around you, trying to tempt you more and more. Anyone who is angry and not forgiving the other, how could he sleep? Or how could she sleep? Non-forgiveness will wake you up. You will be full inside you by anger and frustration. So, let all these come out in a short prayer. Forgive one another. Continue to be the good husband and wife. And Jesus Christ holding both of you. And decide when you are going to discuss that. But sleep with the Lord Jesus holding both of you. Not the demon of anger holding both of you. I will try in short, because it's a long topic. We'll discuss anger and domestic violence tonight. Domestic violence, which is on the increase, and you will wonder, you'll find most of us, we went through domestic violence. It does need to be physical. As you are going to see. So anger, what could be the reasons for anger? Read quietly.
Number one, threats for safety and security.
Threats for safety and security. When you feel threatened, you will feel threatened. You will feel angry inside you. If someone will threaten you that he's going to kill you, he's going to demolish you, you will disappear. One day, someone told his wife, I'm going to hire someone to throw at your face something which will take away your beauty. And somebody else to run after you and he will hit you by his car. This is the maximum threat for security. Sometimes during our discussions, we say, get away, I will kill you. And I don't mean it. Here in these countries, it means a threat of murder. A criminal. It's a crime. Go to criminal court. So we have to be watchful over our mouths and don't threaten the security and peace of others. Yes. Number two.
Abuse and violence.
I think it goes without saying. Anybody enjoy being abused? He needs therapy. If you enjoy being abused, abused on the long run causes anger, suppressed anger. And sometimes you explode, or you carry it with you. And you project it on other later on. Yes.
Humiliation.
Humiliation? Yes.
Sarcasm, intimidation, and provocation. Number 5, violation of rights. Number 6.
Violation of rights. If someone will take intentionally or violate one of your rights, say if you have the right to buy something, you say everybody except you. You have the right to be a citizen without any reason to tell you no. Violation of one of your rights, of course, will intimidate you and you get angry. I'm giving you so many reasons which could apply to many of you. Yes.
Number 6, violation of principles and values.
Do you remember when the principles and values of the children of Jacob, Israel, were violated? Dinah, their sister, remember, what did they do? Her brothers, they killed a whole tribe, men of that tribe, although he was planning to marry her. One of the principles was violated. Some of your values were violated. You're so angry. If you feel that anything in the society around you is violating one of your principles, you get agitated and angry, and sometimes you become an activist against those who are spreading unholiness around you. And you could join an association against one of those or some of those violations of your principles and values. Yes.
Number 7, deprivation of needs.
Unmet needs for a long time, deprivation of needs. You'll find men and women, husbands and wives, who feel deprived for a long time, so angry, and anxiety and anger. Any kind of need, whether emotional or physical needs. Try to deprive someone from food. He feels so bad. Nourish and cherish. If cherishing the emotions or physical deprivation in marriage lead to anger, which needs therapy and counseling for the reasons. Yes.
Number 8, long-term unresolved conflicts, separation, divorce, breaking relationship, sin, and grieving the loss.
Yes.
Number 9, psycho-emotional, PMS, bipolar, explosive and antisocial personality disorder, substance abuse. And number 10, organic, thyroid and adrenal dysfunction, cerebral atherosclerosis, brain tumor.
Organic means certain diseases which are not psychiatry. The endocrine system in particular. If someone is always angry, we have to check thyroid and adrenal glands. Maybe have hyperthyroidism. Secretion of the adrenal is increased, which leads to an anxiety and anger and hypertension. Cerebral atherosclerosis, the patient sometimes, you'll find him full of anger and screaming and crying. And certain brain tumor in certain parts of the brain causes the same, and others. In psychiatry, starting from an anxiety, PMS, drug abuse, and much more serious diseases not generalized anxiety, bipolar, which is manic depression and mania, extreme anxiety and anger, and of course within the course of schizophrenia. So there are many, many reasons for anger. Find for yourself which one happened in your past or at the present, which is causing your frustration and anger. Then we'll move to expression of anger and types of anger. You will see so clearly that there are certain types which could affect our internal organs and we don't explode to the outside. And certain kind of angers which are expressed to the outside, some to the inside, some to the outside. And you'll find anger at whom. You'll find those different types and of expressions. Yeah.
Number one, denial because of guilt, shame, and fear.
Someone will deny. Someone is so angry, you say, no, I'm not. Because he will be shamed. He put shame on his head. Say, a servant in the church, someone who is serving, who has a certain position, and say, no, I'm not angry. And the anger is boiling inside him or her. He will feel ashamed if he will admit that he has anger. Or he will feel so guilty if he will vent this anger. He will suppress the anger, or he will deny it, say, no. We'll try with him or with her, say, no, I'm not angry. And all the signs and symptoms indicate inside him that he or she is angry. Say, no, I'm not. Denying. Yes.
Number two, explosion, you pay.
An explosion, as if you are saying to others, you will pay for what happened. You pay. Explosion, explosive anger or explosive personality disorder. Others will pay for that from the wrath inflicted on them.
Number three, repression, I pay.
Repressed anger means I will keep my anger in, so my inner organs will pay for that. Stomach, you find nervous stomach, colon, bladder, back, headache, repressed anger. I pay for suppressing the anger in me. So the anger is not controlled by a healthy way, but merely suppressed. I'm holding it. For a long time, maybe I fear expressing anger. So I will hold it in me. And then my internal organ will show my anger. Yes.
Number four, suppression, someone will pay. Number five, forgiveness, God has paid.
Suppression means someone will suppress the anger and then he will explode one day. Like those, they will say, someone so calm and quiet, all of a sudden, he took a machine gun, went to McDonald's, and he killed 30 people. He was suppressing the anger, and at a certain moment, he exploded. Someone, when I'm suppressing, not my internal organ will pay, no. Someone at one time will pay. It depends. Maybe you'll go to a school with machine gun or guns and kill others, or to an area populated and killed. This expresses the anger after suppression for some time. Could be violation of certain rights, and you are keeping the anger inside you, and then one day you'll explode. But And forgiveness, you say, God already has paid the price of the sin of the one in front of me. God has paid that. Yes.
Number six, assertive, controlled expression.
Someone, and we'll know that now, in treatment of anger, assertive control of anger. You vent in a civil way. Talk the anger out. Vent it out decently. When you're angry, talk it out. Talk with someone. Express why you are angry. This is the assertive way, in a civil way. And then, you could be angry at others, at yourself or at God. Angry at others, whether something happened in the past or at the present. Or angry at yourself because you did something wrong. And according to our Christian way, this is the anger without sin. You are judging yourself. Get angry at yourself. You don't sin. Angry and don't sin, as in Ephesians 4, as one of the early fathers has said it, this is the anger at yourself when you do something wrong, and then it will lead to repentance. Anger at God. So many are angry at God because of so many incidents. They claim that God is responsible about it. Like death, disease, situations, events, absence of care and compassion and love in situation, grieving the loss. All those situations, sometimes we hold God responsible and we pour our anger and wrath at God. Some make a treaty between them and Satan to serve him all their life and curse God. They kneel. I know someone who knelt close to her bed and said, I curse you, O God. You are not my God anymore. I don't want you to be my Lord or my God. And continued, O Satan, you could be my God. Better than that, Lord. It was so difficult. All her life became difficult. Till after maybe 10 years of difficulty and misery, she repented and started to take communion, started to come to the church, and then her life started to become better. So many, due to death or disease, incurable diseases of their spouses, they call anger, they call God names, and they throw stones at him. They throw stones up towards the sky and tell him, okay, if you are really capable, come down and they will kill you. Anger at God. And God is so merciful. He knows that they are angry. He will not hold it with them. But if they blaspheme against God and betray him and say, we don't want you and want instead of you, Satan is there waiting for them. And he will torment them really and make their life miserable really till they repent. So it's serious. It's a serious matter to say that. God bless you. Please don't get your wrath against God to serious levels. And fathers of confession are waiting to help us, especially in that area of wrath and anger at God. Yes.
Number seven, patience and calmness, easily drop it. Number eight, anger at others because of present or past events. Number 9, anger at self. Number 10, anger at God.
They will come for treatment of anger. Do you have the handouts? Okay. What did you notice in that issues for treatment? Is there any sequence you see it? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Did you get it? Just to make it easy for you. What's A? Admit. First thing, to admit that you are angry. Come and say, yes, I'm angry. I need help. If you don't admit from the beginning and you live in denial or fear or shame or guilt, I don't want to come forward and say I need help because I'm angry. Many are complaining from me. You don't admit that you're angry. Treatment will not start. And then B is brainstorm. What's meant by brainstorm? Think with yourself. When you get angry, where you get angry, with whom mostly you get angry, at whom, and so you think, brainstorm means you will write, you take a journal and write. Most of the times at the evening, when I'm exhausted, I get angry. When? When I see my wife, I get angry. Certain person. I'm so decent to everybody except my spouse. And where? My house, outside my house, I'm a very calm person. When I reach the door of my house, I inflict my anger on the authority figure close to me, mostly my spouse and my children. And then you describe in your journal what are the signs and symptoms of your anger. How do you feel? What do you feel? Blood rushing to your head. You feel tightness in your breath. Your heart rate is increasing, sinking sensation in your stomach, tightness of the muscles of your back, feeling that you are going to explode, tightening of the fist, feel that you want to close your fist hard, or you flex your toes inside your shoes, tightening the muscles. This is just preceding the explosion. And just describe all that. Brainstorm it. What is C? What's C? Control. How could you control that? You know that there's something called stimulus. Stimulus which will start the anger process. And the stimulus is going to be followed after some time with the response, which means expression of anger. This stimulus could be from within you or from outside you. And there's a period of time which could be counted by seconds or minutes between the stimulus and the response. It is that time in which you could work on yourself. And there's a certain point on that line between the S and the R, because the SR period of time. There's a point in that time, we call it the point of no return. Which means, if your anxiety and anger increases, and you pass that point of no return, for sure you will explode. You will get your anger and wrath on someone or yourself. So, usually all the exercises to control your anger and anxiety are during that time when you feel a stimulus is coming. Stimulus means reasons for anger. Something which will agitate you to get angry. And you start to control yourself. There are certain exercises in which you control yourself. One of it is to take a deep breath in and get it out very slowly. You do it a few times. And you could count on your fingers how many counts in inspiration and very slow expiration. You could take your inspiration fast if you like, but exhaling, getting the air out, must be very slowly. Now, if you take your breath in and hold it, how do you feel your muscles? Tight. Now, take breath in and then get it out. You feel the muscle relaxed when you get the air out. So, if you are panicking, say, you will take a deep breath and hold it. Of course, the best way is to say, everything will be deflated. Do that 5 times. But you could count up to 30 in the exhaling. The longer you do it, the more you train yourself to control your anxiety and anger. Also, usually people who speak slower and at lower tone. Slower mean word by word. And at lower tone, you have less anxiety and tendency to get angry easily. The tendency will be less if you speak slower and at lower tone. The opposite is when you are loud and you speak fast, you feel tense and any stimulus could get you angry. Something else, people sometimes when they get angry, I'm saying about exercises, not spiritual now, they start to count, not from 1 to 50, no, count 100 down by 7, 100, 93, what's after that? 86, minus 7, 79, minus 7, you are distracting yourself from the reason of anger, from the stimulus, so you could control it till you get away from the situation without getting angry. Don't count down by 2 or 3 or 5. It doesn't work. Always when you start to get anxious, getting angry, focus on your muscles. Which muscles are tense in your body? Muscle focusing, because if you relax it, if you relax these muscles, the adrenaline will be less in your body. And then you could control your anxiety and anger. And the best for that is whole body relaxation, which means if you stand, just sit and relax all your muscles from head to toe completely. And then your mind must be also relaxed. In one of the Psalms, recite one of the Psalms, recite a prayer, or go by your mind into one of the scenes in the Bible, remembering one of the events in the Bible, as if you live in that event. Or remember one of the scenes which is calming for you, like, say, water in a lake, greenery. If you have visited one of the monasteries and seen of the relics of certain saints like Mbabshoy, you remember Pope Carolus, Saint Mina, and you remember the place where you were kneeling and praying. Remember it while you are relaxed. Go and get, as soon as you can, get out of the place. And with the one who is inflicting provocation on you or intimidation, leave the place. If you tolerate your brother while he is angry, you will be crowned as a martyr. This is what Saint John Saba has mentioned, Sheikh Ruhani. If you tolerate your brother during his anger, you could be crowned as a martyr. It's so difficult to tolerate continuously someone who's angry. But if you cannot tolerate, get out of the room. It's better than the demon of anger will affect you too. So these are certain exercises. Some, if he feels that he's getting angry, go and exercise on an exercise machine. Listen to music. Go around the house walking. Not during the winter in Montreal, of course. But don't drive if you are angry. Some are used, when you're angry, you go and drive. It's serious if you are so angry to go and drive. And don't make a decision while you're angry. Don't ever make a decision while you're angry. These are no, the decision will be wrong. And don't open your mouth. Try to close your mouth. Shut your mouth if you are angry. Because most probably, if you speak, flames of fire will come out of your mouth. And any word which comes out, you can't return it back. So take care of this. Don't open your mouth if you are angry. Don't make a decision, and don't drive your car. You could walk, or drive very slowly, if you can. I prefer not to drive. You could exercise. Go and wash the place. Wash the dishes. Take all the books from the bookshelf and put it back again. Just do something. Because the anger is an energy. Take it out in something. If you have in your garage punching bag, go and punch it. Take it on one of your pillows, better than on someone. But don't explode on someone. Control, try to control your anger. And then D, what is D? Direct your anger, especially talk it out, vent it out with someone. Explain why you're angry in a decent and civil way. What is after that? E? Expert help. Expert help could be abuna, could be counselors, psychotherapists, which will help you really for the reason, they search for the reasons of anger and the type of anger and when you have to stop and how do you stop, how do you express it. You modify for you these. And F is forgiveness. Forgiveness of the one in the past who inflicted a new certain abuse or humiliated you or shamed you or something. Someone whom you feel that he was the cause of anger. You have to forgive that. You know, dealing with the past. Forgiveness is a commitment which is renewed every day because you don't forget, but you forgive. If you remember that one day he hurt you, then you renew your commitment to forgiveness, which means you give God the right to deal with the person. The person is accountable, responsible for what he did to you. But God will deal with him. This is forgiveness. Don't take the law between your hands. Don't insist in taking your revenge. But leave for God to deal with the person according to his fair judgment, love and mercy. Renew the commitment every day. Remember Jesus on the cross. While those were piercing him by the thorns and the nails and the spear, he was asking God to forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Forgiveness. Forgiveness will make you sleep comfortably. So this is treatment, short about treatment of anger. Now we'll go to domestic violence. Do we have domestic violence in our homes? Ask lawyers. Ask the police. Ask those who call 911. Do you have violence? Of course. What could be types of domestic violence or regarded as domestic violence? Control. Control. And one of it, financial control, could be a reason for violence. If you control your spouse, your children, or you control them through your finances, it is regarded as domestic violence. Then, of course, you have the famous kinds. You have the physical abuse. You have the psycho-emotional abuse, including the verbal. And you have the sexual abuse. And you have the neglect. All these are kinds of domestic violence. I mean, penalized by the court system. What's after that?
Reasons.
Okay, wait.
C, abuse cycle. Number one, financial control. Number two, physical violence. Number three, psycho-emotional violence. Number four, sexual violence. And number five, neglect. The reasons for domestic violence. Number one, disrespect for the presence and headship of Christ. Number two, disrespect of the authority of the Word of God.
If you forget about the presence of the head of your home, the head of the family, which is Jesus Christ, forget about his presence, you will violate the rights and inflict violence on others. You will abuse others. Because you can't see God in the situation. And if Abuna will come and tell you any verses that you are not supposed, you have to love, you have to compassion on others, you must feel, and you will not listen because you don't have any authority for the word of God on you. Whatever Abuna will say, keep it for yourself, Abuna, it's not for me. So that person most probably will go abusing till he will spend one night in the jail one day. Or she will spend one night in the jail. Abuna is mentioning the law of God. If you ignore the law of God, then there is a civil law. We don't want to use a civil law. But some might need that.
Number 3, quenching of the Holy Spirit in holy matrimony. Number 4, long-term...
You know, quenching means all kinds of sins, which, without repentance, which quench the Holy Spirit, which means both of them, they will not feel that the Holy Spirit is fervent in them. They will not feel that. And you go on sinning and continuing the violence.
Number 4, long-term unresolved marital and family conflicts.
Yes.
Number 5, financial conflicts and unemployment. Mm-hmm. Number 6, domestic violence in the original and extended family.
You understand? You have seen it. You have seen it at your original homes. And you have suppressed anger, which you did not express. And you carry it to your new family. The same pattern, the cycle, you will carry it to your new family and impose it and inflict it on others. The same way you have seen your dad and mom acting or behaving, you will do it with your spouse. Yes.
Number 7, suppressed anger because of past events. Number 8, addiction to alcohol, narcotic and or gambling.
Did you ever see an alcoholic person? When he's drunk, he could break. He could hit. He could abuse. And he would forget. So many said that while their dad was drunk, he continued to hit them and hit them and hit them and hit them without him feeling. And he doesn't know after he will wake up from the alcohol in the morning, he could see remains of what he has done the night before. So many children, when the dad or the mom starts to drink alcohol, from the fear, they go away to the room and close the doors. And you might hear after that screams, voices, that sounds of breaking, and they are, you know, covering themselves completely with the cover when they are young. You have books about adult children, alcoholic parents, and the effect of that on the children. Yes.
Number 9, personality disorders, antisocial, sadistic, and explosive. Number 10, psychiatric disorders, manic depression, and schizophrenia.
Okay, of course, when someone has his or her spouse with any of these disorders, he will go to psychiatrist and ask what to do. Many of these problems, the patient will refuse to go for treatment. And according to the law of our countries, Canada, United States, Australia, Europe, you can't force someone against his own will to go for treatment unless he is violating the rights of others, hurting others, so the police could take that person. Other than that, if he is not hurting others, hurting himself, sometimes we can't take him for treatment. Someone with schizophrenia, and he's talking so much against the one in front of him, violating all things verbally. How you get a paranoid schizophrenic person for treatment? He will refuse. He feels that he's sane and you are the insane. It's a problem in these countries. It's a problem. Maximum, even if you take him by the court, 6150 by the police, maximum 3 days. During it, he will get out. Unless there's a court judgment for him to stay over 2 weeks for treatment inside the hospital. It's something tough for people to live with someone with one of these disorders untreated.
Abuse cycle, 3 phases.
Yes.
1, increasing tension and stress. 2, explosion and violence. 3, the honeymoon.
Yes.
Feeling of regret and shame. Repentance and promises and request for forgiveness, reconciliation.
The abuse cycle is going to be repeated. When stress is accumulating, imminent and increasing, then what will happen? At one point, explosion will happen. Violence. And after that, after inflicting what's supposed to be penalized, punishable by the law, he or she will start to calm down. The third phase, we call it the honeymoon. I'm sorry. I feel guilty. Please forgive me. I'm not going to do it again. This is the last time. And of course, the person will be tempted because he wants peace or she wants peace. And there's some time there's peace during this honeymoon phase. And then the cycle will be repeated again. The stress, then the explosion, then the honeymoon. We call this abuse cycle. The 3 phases, one after another. Yes.
4, increasing stress and repetition of the same cycle. Effects on children. 1, insecurity.
Effects of domestic violence. What's after that? Yes.
Culture and religion. Let's see.
What's the effects on children? Right. Yeah.
Okay. 1, insecurity. 2, acceptance.
If you have children at home, or if you were the children in a house with violence, what do you expect to happen to you? These are the expectations, the effects on you as a child. And you will carry it with you, getting adult. Yes. Yes.
2, acceptable approach to win and gain grounds.
What this means? You have seen that your mom or dad, when they get violent, they win grounds. Because of the honeymoon phase, already they exploded and took certain rights. And nobody is asking them or punishing them. There's no consequence. So you will learn, it's a good way to win and gain grounds by exploding violent, be violent on others at school or at home or when you're an adult in your own family. Yes.
3, an obstacle for communication.
It's understandable. Yes.
4, a learned approach to resolve marital problems.
Would you imagine that? Violence is a learned technique, method. If you want to stop your spouse from asking about something, beat him or beat her up. And she or he will never open his mouth again. It's a learned technique. If someone will ask, or do something which is not right, beat him up. Be violent. Whether verbally, humiliation, physically, sexually, neglect, whatever. It is one of the ways to stop marital conflicts by shutting the other spouse up completely. Shutting her off. Yes.
5, aggression, violence, and disobedience at school and home.
Yes.
6, psychosomatic symptoms, hard backs, nocturnal enuresis.
Nocturnal enuresis. If you have a child who is living in a violent home, the child will show certain physical, organic signs and symptoms. Headache, stomach ache, doesn't want to go to school, and if he is continent, he will start to be incontinent, bed wetting, mostly at night, nocturnal enuresis. By age 11, he or she started again to wet the bed. Very embarrassing. And it could continue all their life. I know certain females who are now 50-something, over 50. And since when they were 10, they are incontinent. Would you imagine living with someone like that? The husband, in the beginning, he was complaining that he wake up in the morning and everything is wet around him. Because something she was carrying with her from childhood. And sometimes we need surgery, sometimes only psychotherapy is ineffective with medication. It's unknown till we resolve first, at the end, to assure something like adult diapers. This is the only way to keep them or to keep the bed clean. It's so embarrassing, but it's happening from violence at homes. Yes.
Number 7, rebellion, resistance to authorities and rules, tendency and attraction to join bad crowd like gang groups.
Yes. Yes.
8, depression, self-inflicted injury and mutilation, suicide, hurting others, including pets, plants.
Someone would be depressed that violence is around her or around him. They start mutilating themselves. They pull their hair, they scratch, they get something sharp and they dig it in their muscles, they twist their skin. Some of them, they, by their nails, they cut in their gum pieces from the hurt. Some of them, they think of suicide and commit suicide. Self-inflicting injury or mutilation. Effect of the hurt from the violence around them and the depression. Yes.
Number 9, personality disorders, borderline, dependent, passive, aggressive, antisocial, sadistic, and explosive.
Explain that yesterday, or before yesterday. Yes.
Finally, number 10, psychiatric disorders. Clinical picture of the disorders start at earlier age in violence hostile environment.
If you are predisposed genetically to have a psychiatric disorder, living in a violent, stressful environment will start early signs and symptoms of the disease. Sometimes we see schizophrenia starting in children at age 7 and 8. Usual schizophrenia starts between 20 and 30. But sometimes start in the first decade of their life or early teenage, especially if there's a hostile environment around them. Violent, stressful. So we have to take care. If you have genetic tendency to have a psychiatric disorder, if you keep yourself as much as you can from stress, even by taking some medications to keep you away from stress, simple, one tablet a day, anti-anxiety, antidepressant medication, if you are really vulnerable, predisposed by inheritance, genetic inheritance, it could keep you all your life good, especially in cases of manic depression. You could go all your life without getting sick. Okay, effect of culture and religion. Some people understand certain verses in the Bible in a wrong way. The man is the head of the woman, which means he could kill her. He could enslave her, and she has no voice. According to the Bible, supremacy of the man is in Islam, not in Christianity. A man can do whatever he wants in his wife, and she can't say anything. This is Islam, not Christianity. So if you have lived that culture, this is not Christian tradition, this is not Bible. Sometimes you'll be advised the wrong way by Christian counselors or servants. Tolerate. Okay, it's your cross, carry it. And then the person will take it, it's my cross, no, God is unfair. He'll be so angry. The woman is beaten up every day. I know someone, her legs were broken more than one time by the hands of the man. Imagine how huge he is and how fragile she is. And she was young, in her 20s. And the servants would tell her, okay, tolerate. She goes to the hospital, okay, I slipped. I fell down from the stairs and this is what happened. And this is not right. It's not right. If the man is breaking your bones and Abuna is saying to them so many times to stop and they don't stop, what is the treatment for that man? Maybe he's manic depressant. And that man I'm talking about was really manic depressant without treatment for a long time. Why? Because the advice from the servant, it is your cross. If you go against that, if you complain, then you're against carrying your cross. You're a bad girl. God will inflict His wrath on you because you are complaining so much. This is not Christian counseling. It's not a good advice. Let her vent the anger in a way, in a civil way. Talk that and try to treat the man. Tell him that you're wrong. If you beat up your wife, this is wrong. It's not in our culture, Christian tradition, not in the Bible, it's not biblical. The head of the family is God, not the man. The man is a Christian leader, spiritual leader for the family. And I gave before that topic of leadership and submission and characteristic of the leader who has to be the servant, the most sensitive for the members of the family. So I'm sorry for those who are advising the abused and the victims just to stop even talking about it. This is wrong. Something else. Someone who will advise his spouse, don't go for confession. Whatever is happening between us is our privacy, our secrets. I don't trust any priest. If you go to a priest, he will tell everybody, don't trust them. Don't go even for confession. And if she will go for confession, he will tell her, what did you tell Abuna? Tell me, what did you tell Abuna? And then he start hitting her. Why? She went to Abuna. What crime she is doing? It's happening in certain cultures, in certain families. This is not Christianity. Then the treatment. The last thing, the treatment of domestic violence.
Number one, spiritual. Number two, real understanding of the scripture.
Yes, go ahead.
Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as the Lord, as to the Lord. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your own husbands as it is fitting in the Lord.
You understand? Explain that before. As to the Lord, it means that if your husband is doing something the Lord is not doing or cannot do it for you, you don't submit for that. If he tells you to do a sin or something wrong, say no. Submission is not total submission to wrong requests or wrong behaviors. This is not a good understanding of biblical verses. If someone really have experienced the love of God, he will not break bones of his wife. He will not even slap her. He will not be physical. And if he's physical and feels regret and shame, he needs therapy. But usually, someone who is spiritual, really spiritual, which means he understands and values the relation between him and Jesus Christ, he will never do that. I mentioned before that someone in an eminent position in one of the churches, a servant, he was putting his foot on the neck of his wife. I mentioned that before. He continued to beat up his own son till age over 30. That man is manic depression. And he's refusing to go for treatment. Who would dare to say to that eminent person, you are a manic depressant? No one in his area. And the lady was complaining. And when she went outside the room, the bedroom, to sleep on a sofa, outside the bedroom, the one bedroom apartment, she went to sleep on the sofa. You know what? She was putting chairs around her, so if it will come at night, she will feel. See the terror. And she can't say anything because of his position. So, real spirituality is not like that. Yes, go ahead. Number three.
Respect and accountability of God, the Scripture and Father of Confession.
I have to be accountable to the Father of Confession and to the Scripture, to the words of God and to God. If I take communion, a boy will tell me this is wrong, then it's wrong. If you tell a verse, this verse, I have to say amen. This verse is really a verse to me. And I accept that. I believe in it. It has authority over me. If I don't, then it's not part of the therapy. It's not for him. Yes.
Number four, marriage and family therapy to resolve conflict and avoid violence. Number five, anger management, respect and fear of law. And number six, treatment of psychiatric and personality disorder, if any.
I advise you, if you have an anger problem with some violence, ask by yourself, not through the court. Ask the county, the area around you, for anger management. Don't wait till you will go for the jail for a few hours, then you'll be bailed out, then you go after that for anger management. And both the two spouses will go for anger management. Do together. So they will learn accountability and responsibility. And mostly, it's like a group discussion. And it's, in my state, it is a 52 weekly session, which means for 1 year. In Canada, it might be 26 sessions, once weekly, 6 months. I have seen after that, sometimes those who go through the anger management, they teach them how to hold and control their anger. I mean, your spouse is not a thing, is not a chair, is not a table. You don't own your spouse. And if you don't control your anger, this is going to happen to you by the law. So I have seen those who finished that program in Canada here, they, when they get angry, they close their mouth and they grind their teeth, but they don't talk. At least they don't talk. I prefer anger management to be psychotherapy and spiritual support from the Father of Confession or someone Christian to help them too, to be of permanent effect. But I remember a case, a wife called the police for her husband because he was violent. They took him to the jail a few hours, and then she went and bailed him out. After 2 weeks, he called the cops for her. Why? She threw her young baby, or don't put it comfortably on the bed, just throw him on the bed. He called the cops for her, abuse, and he took her. Also for one night, then he bailed her out. After that, neither of them called the cops. So, I'm not encouraging calling 911. But sometimes if it will happen with anger management after that, it helps. And usually those, we give them medication to help them to control themselves. God bless you. Any questions?
Hello. I'd like to ask you, what happens, what do you recommend if one of the spouses refuses to recognize that there's a problem? What should the other spouse do?
Abuna. The first line of defense is Abuna. Abuna will try and try and try. I mean, come, let that person to come to Abuna and tell him. Sometimes that person is dead, deceased, and still I carry the effects of the violence. But if he is alive and continuously inflicting danger and violence, call Abuna is the first line of defense. Sometimes they escape from meeting with Abuna. Sometimes they pretend that they are so holy and recite certain verses from the Bible. Abuna, of course, by his wisdom, he knows what's going on, and he will face him. We have to know how to confront those. If he will not listen to God, I'm saying again, if he will not listen to the law of God, we have to fear God. If we are going against his law, if I'm not respecting enough the law of God, I have to respect the civil law. Abuna will do his best. But after that, please allow for that person to fear. Refer to the epistle of Jude. It's one chapter before Book of Revelation. We could save someone by fear and snatch from the fire just by him fearing. Is not right if you don't fear any law. You'll be a criminal. Law of God first, then the civil law. And our churches believe in the civil law of the country we are living in. I'm not encouraging anybody to use the civil law before using the law of God through Abunas. Thank you.
Israel? Yes.
Sorry, I have another question for you. Could you comment on the verse Peter 3:1? Because we sort of skipped it, and I just wanted to know what your comments were on.
First Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Is that what you mean? Okay. The first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 3, verse 1. Wives, submit to your husband. Even if they don't obey the word, which means not believing in the word of God. And in our case here, maybe they are Christian, but they don't respect the authority of the word of God. The only treatment for them, for those, if the wife has a chaste conduct, not pretending, like Saint Monica, Mother of Saint Augustine, like Umm al-Ghalaba. You remember her? Yes. These are exceptions. If everybody could be like them in their status of spirituality, there would be no trouble at homes. If the man even would break their bones, you say, thank you. And they would continue this sainthood status. I have to be realistic. I am a counselor and realistic. At the same time, I'm a Christian counselor. I encourage all women to attract, to win their husbands to God by their chaste conduct, not only by submission, chaste conduct. And if they will not hear God, God will take care of them. But if you can't do that, I can't play the guilt trip on you. I will condemn you to death. You go to hell, oh wife, because you can't be a saint. I can't do that. I cannot. I leave the arbitrator, I leave the one, the violent, I leave the one who is abusing the wife, and say, wife, be submissive. See, Saint Monica? But if you can't, then I'll play the guilt trip on you. If you don't listen to me and be submissive, God will take his revenge from you. This is not a way. We talk about positive reinforcement, not negative reinforcement. Which means, the one who is a victim, I don't frighten them. I don't let them go through a guilty trip that they are not tolerating enough. I encourage them by the love of God to tolerate. But don't tell them in a certain way how to feel guilty. We call it the guilt trip. But I encourage them for their chaste conduct as much as they can tolerate. And for those men who are unbelieving, if they are not going to be won to Christ by their chaste conduct and continue their violence, Pharaoh continued his violence. And what was the end? God drowned him and all his soldiers and officers in the Red Sea. Not everybody was won by the word of God. But we say it. So our wives, really, I mean, they could take their crown. If they can't, at least I, as a counselor, I don't play on them the guilt trip. I encourage them to continue holding to Christ. I encourage them to stay in their saintly life, but don't play on them the guilt trip. Okay. Any other questions?